know the specs on some new Navy ship, or you're working at the Air Force, or you're working at Raytheon or Boeing, that's usually the type of person that could be targeted. It's not typically going to be, you know, any random person or even just some wealthy person. In fact, if you go to cases like Sukarno, this was the Indonesian Revolution. There was sexual compromise involved in that operation. So many famous instances in history are revolutions or overthrows or something like that. They've included these types of operations. And again, as we said, the KGB, for example, had an entire sex school. You could actually go to sex school where you get graded on, I guess, everything, right? And the idea back in the Cold War was that you also had to master these techniques of secretly filming people and secretly gaining the compromise. So it became, again, an entire sort of science. In 1955, the United States Army, through its Sergeant Glenn Rohrer, was assigned a heavily guarded compound that was used to train European and American agents behalf and behind the Iron Curtain. Located on a 12-acre site in West Germany, it was 10 miles from Frankfurt. It was known as Camp David, funny name. The primary purpose of this facility was to train black and gray agents. Full-time spies were known as blacks and operated in the Soviet-controlled countries under false identities. Grays were the businessmen, the tourists, and the journalists who agreed to take on a single espionage assignment for patriotism or for money. So you'll notice that the CIA was doing the exact same thing that the NKVD was doing. During this period, the KGB was involved in compromising many people amongst the NATO hierarchy. There were admirals, there were high-level military officials, generals that became compromised. And quite often, I have to say, through their fake and gayness, right? So, yeah, you could compromise the person with a beautiful Russian model or a Ukrainian sex op. But the real goal, unfortunately, was when they were compromised via the gay stuff. And I have to thank one of my good buddies because he actually bought me and sent me. This was the standard model that the KGB would use, and it's called the Minox B. And this is an actual tiny mini camera. Now, usually they would use these cameras for photographing documents because it's not really the best for your prawn proclivities, but anyway, you get an idea. So this is how small this was back during the 1960s and 70s, maybe even the 50s. I forget when the first Minox came out. But this was the favorite of the KGB. And usually, again, this was to just take pictures of classified documents or something like that. But it could also conceivably be done through for sexual operation compromise stuff as well. And that, but the Minox actually comes up in this discussion. We have, in the case of the FBI, for example, Richard Miller, the famous FBI agent, was convicted of espionage with Svetlana Ogorodnikova. We have the case of Robert Hansen, right? I mean, there's many cases of this, but what's interesting if you read about it is how many of them were actually gay things, right? So many of these people, for example, amongst the British establishment, you had John Vassal, who was kind of closeted gay dude. But then once the Soviets found that out, the KGB was able to get pretty compromising information on a very high level British official. Unfortunately, amongst this dark side of things, there's also a pretty prevalent pedo element. And so this is why it's important to note this, because a lot of people, for example, were dismissing the Epstein situation as if it dealt with the pedo stuff or as if that was an issue. Well, this is necessary because I'm not saying it's necessary from, I'm saying from the vantage point of the establishment is necessary because they want to count, they want to cater to whatever that person's proclivities are. And so if you have a high level official who's into that and you want to get access to, you know, their files or their data or whatever, then you could see why the establishment would want to do that. I'm not arguing for that. I'm just saying that's the reality of it. And thus, because that's a reality, there's no reason why we should think that that wouldn't be involved in the Epstein case or in the Epstein files. In fact, in some cases, young boys were even used, as is discussed in several chapters here by Boer. And in the case of Japan, for example, as I've mentioned many times, this is not something new. This is not something Epstein figured out or Robert Maxwell figured out. There were Japanese operatives who 100 years ago were able to create what they called the Hall of Pleasurable Delights. And the Hall of Pleasurable Delights was utilized by this guy named Kenji Doihara, who was the master of Japanese espionage. He was a military figure who figured out that the way to actually win against China when they had the Chinese-Japanese war was to utilize the vices. To utilize the vices would mean to control the military and the people, not through overt kinetic means, but to get them so addicted to opium and the Japanese prostitutes that eventually the entire province that he invaded fell without a fight. General Kenji Doihara captured Peking, Shanghai, and Nanking with not much opposition due to all of the inside information that he had got his prostitute 304 informants to give him. And because so many of the Chinese army were addicted to opium, they were able to immediately just walk in and it was nothing. In the United States, it's a little bit of a different story because the State Department took over espionage in 1898. And at this time, they were utilizing Pinkerton private security. And this was the private security that was used against the South. In order to combat this, even the Confederates utilized sex spies. A woman who was considered the most beautiful woman of that time, I don't know who would think that, but anytime you see these 1800s women, they're looking rough. I mean, they look like your uncle. So the nines and the tens of the 1800s are like your uncle today. But this woman, Belle Boyd was the most famous Confederate spy, and she was a honeypot, honey trap. She would sleep with the Yankee soldiers and generals to try to get information, and apparently she was pretty successful. But that's not the only side that did that. In fact, there were spies amongst the Union and the Confederates who engaged in sex ops. So it wasn't just Belle Boyd. There were others. Guys, this is the Alex Jones Show live on Alex Jones Live Network. Be sure and follow Alex over at Alex Jones Live. Follow him on X. Follow him on Rumble, everywhere else. And I am Jay Dyer, your guest host. You can follow me at jaysanalysis.com. Get my books in the shop. We'll be right back.
Heard Alex Jones talk about some chemical that makes the frogs gay. Raise your hand. Turns out he wasn't wrong. When frogs were exposed to atrazine, some were chemically castrated and feminized. Genetic males developed female reproductive organs, and some even produced viable eggs. What is less known is this. Human exposure to atrazine in the womb is linked to genital malformations in men. Like when the pee hole isn't in the right place on the pee. And it even could be contributing to shrinking sizes. I am talking about micro becoming increasingly common. Despite this, atrazine, the micro chemical, is present in the drinking water of 40 million Americans. Europe banned it. We didn't. Talk about a war on masculinity.